Well, it is nice to be with you this morning, and today we continue our summer series, Living in the Surprising Subversive Way of Jesus. Have you ever noticed how impatient we have become? We need everything right away. Fast internet, next day delivery, same day delivery, 30-minute food, drive-through coffees. We need it right now. I want it now, right? We want people too, and it's not just things we want right away. We want people to snap to it and get to it right away. People to change. We want problems solved immediately. Justice has to happen now. Rights have to come together and be wronged right away. So when someone keeps making poor choices, and it happens over and over again, we can be like, enough is enough, right? Jesus, in his farming parable today, the servants see the weeds that are growing, and they ask the question, should we pull them up? Of course, you pull up the weeds. In our front yard, we have this tree that hangs down over the grass, and you know, we've let it go for a long time, and it starts to look terrible. So I was able to trim it up, and it's nice now, and I took the weed whacker. Who's got a weed whacker? Yes. And I just whacked it all down, and now the air is flowing nice, and it looks really nice, and everybody's happy. Yeah, when you see weeds, you take them out. When you see something growing that doesn't belong, the natural response is you get rid of it. But Jesus' shocking answer, no. Let both grow together until the harvest. Wait, what? No, not take them out. Jesus says, don't pull them up yet. Let them grow together. What a surprising answer Jesus gives. As Jesus gives this farming parable, something unusual happens. Jesus tells the story, and yet he gives the interpretation, right? It's a little bit like telling a joke, but then having to fill in the punchline right away. When you do that, you know the joke is going downhill, right? You ever heard somebody try to, I've done it a few times up here, and it's like, oh man, it never goes well. But in this case, Jesus does it anyways. Jesus wants to make sure the disciples really understand what he's saying. So he clearly tells them. But the story, because of the interpretation, it isn't about farming, right? It's a great story. I would love to just spend a bunch of time on farming, but it's not. It's about people. And so Jesus says it's not about the field. You know, it's not about the farmer. It's not just about the harvest either. Jesus is revealing something about who God is, what God's kingdom is like, and how God is working this kingdom now. He paints this parable, which naturally would have, the people would have understood this. They wouldn't have been sitting there like, okay, he's telling us about farming. Because all throughout the Jewish scriptures, God, through his people writing, talk about God's people as vineyards, as plants becoming those that God cares for. So this is a part of the way that God, through God's people, has been communicating to his people all along. So when Jesus spoke about a field containing both the wheat and the weeds, his listeners would have been saying, yes, I know what he's talking about. The question then naturally follows, who are the weeds? Who are the weeds, right? In this time, God's people would have thought, okay, definitely the Romans. They've kind of come in here. They've kicked us to the sidelines. You know, we no longer, or it could have been the religious leaders, right? These guys are telling us they're heaping heavy burdens on us, and yet we're suffering. Maybe they were the weeds. Or maybe it was the people who were on the outside of the community. The sinners, right? Maybe they were the weeds. Outside, they're doing wrong. We're in here, we're good. There was also Jewish groups, radical Jewish groups, Some were like zealots who would take up arms, ready to fight. Others were like more like the ones that follow all the rules, like Puritan types. The Essenes, you remember John the Baptist? He was part of this group called the Essenes. They were way out in the wilderness, and they were eating special diet. They were trying to purify themselves. God, separate us from them. Clean up your kingdom. Remove what doesn't belong. After all, they were living in a world where it seemed like the people who were doing evil were getting ahead, and those that were doing right weren't. Does that ring a bell? They were waiting for the day when God would act. They were waiting for the day when God would draw a line in the sand and say, finally, there'd be justice, when the wicked would be judged, when the weeds would finally be pulled out. So when Jesus tells them, let both grow together until the harvest, this would have been shocking. It would have been like a gut punch. Oh, really? What do you mean, let both grow together? Why does God allow evil to remain? Why does God allow injustice to continue? Why doesn't God simply remove what's wrong? One of the defining marks of our culture, too, is we don't like to wait. Our impatience doesn't just affect how we live, it affects how we see people, too. We, too, want justice to happen now. We want problems solved immediately, evil to be removed. We want difficult people to change immediately. If someone hurts us, disappoints us, we get to the point where, like, enough is enough. We see it all the time. I've talked about this in previous weeks. Cancel culture, politicians falling, religious leaders falling, labeled. Someone fails and they're canceled. Someone struggles with addiction. We write them off. They're too far gone. Our world is quick to judge, slow to forgive, quick to condemn, slow to restore. And if we're honest, that same attitude can sometimes be in our hearts too. We begin putting people in dualistic categories. The good people over here, the bad people over here, the responsible people over here, the hopeless cases. Sometimes we don't even realize we're doing it. We can get to the point where we stop praying for that person that we love, convincing ourselves that they'll never change. And churches can be like this sometimes too. We think about people who are like us, who vote like us, who look like us, who know how the church works like us. And we can become uncomfortable too when people have messy lives and difficult questions, complicated families, or people who just doubt and test us. What happens when someone does that to you? When they have doubts and they're like, what, you believe in God? Does that offend us too? Sometimes. But sometimes if we're really honest, we want God to take immediate action. Remove those people. Fix that situation. Answer our prayers in our timeline. We want the harvest now before the growing season is actually finished. Jesus' parable forces us to sit with that question. What if God is doing something we cannot see yet? What if God is doing something and we can't see it? There's still injustice, there's still evil, there's still difficulties. But what if the reason God hasn't acted according to our expectations isn't because God is absent out there, but because God is patiently working, like the sower in the field and the tiller and all of these things? What if the field is way more complicated than we actually realize? And what if the line between the wheat and the weeds is not as obvious as we think? What if we are sometimes more interested in identifying who the weeds are than trusting who the farmer is? And that's where exactly Jesus' parable catches us by surprise. When the servants notice the weeds, they say, pull them up. Should we pull them up? Yeah. It's a good question, of course. The question we would ask too, but Jesus' answer, let them both grow together. This little word, let, in the Greek, connotates this allow them to grow together. And it also, all over in Scripture, when it says allow, it always is attached to forgiveness. The Apostle Peter reminds the church, the Lord is patient with you, not wanting any to perish. That's the heart of God. God's first instinct isn't destruction, but patience. Not because God ignores evil, not because evil doesn't matter to God, but because people matter. And he doesn't tell this parable. He, Jesus, lives it out. He lives it out. The tax collectors that nobody wanted to be around. Jesus. He eats with sinners, patiently teaches his disciples over and over and over again, even when they misunderstand him. He allows Judas to come to the table when he knows he's going to stab him in the back. Who's like this? Who's like this? Peter denies him 3 times, and Jesus restores him after the resurrection. Hanging on the cross, the very people who put him there and mocked him and beat him, Jesus hanging there says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. The cross is God's way of saying, I will bear the evil before I destroy it. That's the upside down kingdom. This is what it's all about. In our world, forgiveness looks like weakness. Patience can seem naive. Mercy is risky. But in God's kingdom, it's the other way around. Patience is love. Is love that's stronger than vengeance. Forgiveness is stronger than hatred. And grace stronger than sin. That's how the kingdom of God grows. St. Augustine captured it perfectly when he, in a kind of a paraphrase, because, boy, if you ever read him, it's long and heavy. But basically he says, what were weeds today may become wheat tomorrow. What's a weed today can become wheat tomorrow. And weeds and wheat, people can change. The person who seems far from God today, who's a weed, tomorrow can be a harvest. This is true of people in the Bible over and over and over again when we read the Bible. Saul became Paul. Peter the denier becomes Peter the great preacher. The thief on the cross enters paradise. And perhaps if we're honest, each of us has moments when we've looked more like weeds than wheat. Or is that just me? God doesn't pull us out of the field. God patiently keeps working the ground. That's amazing grace. Because if it's truly the heart of God, if this is truly the heart of God, sign me up. Sign me up. I'm in. Because God is still working the person that you and I are. Still working in your son or your daughter, still working in your spouse, your neighbor, the person who has hurt you and hurt me, and most importantly, God is working in us. Augustine again, the person who looks like a weed today, tomorrow can be a wheat. And this changes how we pray. It changes how we forgive. It changes how we love. And it certainly changes how you and I live. Is this difficult? This is difficult. This is discipleship down at the very depths of it, right? This isn't the surface level coming. This is hard stuff. So if you're struggling with this, join the club. 22 years old, Terry Fox, he lost his leg, remember? And most people would have understood if Terry would have sat on the sidelines dealing with his suffering like most of us would deal with it, wallowing in it, feeling sorry for ourselves. Yet he instead chose to hope, and he started that marathon of hope, and he didn't get quite to the Pacific Ocean, but kilometer after kilometer, day after day, he kept putting one foot in front of the other. Millions and millions of dollars have been raised. Millions of lives have been touched because of his courage. More than 40 years later, and I remember our kids going through it every year at Scott Central, the Terry Fox Run every September, and it was an event, and it is an event for something good. Terry could have sat there and cursed the darkness, cursed the evil. Instead, he chose to light a candle. That's what patient hope looks like. Followers of Jesus were called to do the same. Rather than giving up on people, we keep praying. Rather than assuming the worst, we keep hoping. Rather than condemning, we keep loving, because we trust that God is still at work. God's still tilling the field, even when we can't see the harvest. It's hard, you bet. Yet perhaps the greatest miracle isn't that the wheat continues to grow. It's that the farmer is patient enough to wait for it. Aren't you grateful that God didn't give up on you? Aren't you grateful that someone was patient enough to keep praying in the sidelines, behind the scenes? Aren't you grateful for people who keep loving you too? Jesus is inviting you and me to offer that same patience to someone else. The kingdom of God grows not through condemnation. The kingdom of God grows through patient, forgiving love. The farmer is still tending the field. The harvest is still coming. And thanks be to God, God's not finished with any of us yet. Amen. Let us respond to God's word as we sing 642.